we open up God's Word this morning, we need to ask His help in understanding it. So Lord, help us to understand Your Word. Help us to be open to its truth. Help us to see the things that You would want us to learn and apply today. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Last week we started looking at the area of God's will and learning to understand it. And knowing God's will is very important for our lives. Very important. Learning about it and how to discover it. What we are to do with it. This is what we're looking at. And how we can discern it. God wants us in the center of His will. We're going to learn some things about it today. You may know, you may not know. But we need to be open to His Word and the truth that He has for us. So far, we've seen that God promised the apostles that they would have the ability to know and what to do and say in times of persecution. He'll do the same for us. We don't have to have a memorized script if we were ever called to give a defense for Him. We should know how to do it. We should be prepared to do it. We've learned how to do it here on Sunday mornings to give a defense of what we believe and why we believe it and to be able to show it from Scripture. But God also guided them to where they should go and where they should stay away from. He gave that leadership to them. God can still prompt us in our spirit if we're walking in the Spirit. This is the key. If you're not walking in the Spirit, don't expect God to prompt your spirit. Don't expect Him to do that along the way until you get back in line with Him. We learned that they could partially know God's will to guide them and their people. Why? Partially because God's full revelation wasn't complete yet. Not until the New Testament was complete. Then His full revelation was done. His full revelation was complete. Everything we needed to know is in His Word. Everything that we are to understand is in His Word. And this morning I want us to see and learn some other facts about discovering the Lord's will for our lives. First of all, we can be sure of this. That in our day, we still receive guidance from God. He hasn't left us to flounder around out here in life, trying to get through and battle our way through. And a lot of Christians do that because they're not aligning themselves with God's will, and they flounder around. And then they really become kind of a poor testimony because they're always grumpy, and you look at their face, and like my grandfather used to say, it looks like they have a grudge against themselves, you know, because they don't have the joy of the Lord. And so, always remember, God doesn't give false, poor, or even partial true guidance to us. With that said, we need to be aware of this. It's possible for us, if we're not careful, if we're not walking in the Spirit, to misinterpret His will, to misuse His will, or to ignore His will. We can do that. We need to be careful. It's possible for us to misinterpret it, misuse it, or ignore God's will. Sometimes we understand God's will, and we just don't want to do that. I'd rather do something else. So we do everything we can, kind of skirt around the issue. Well, maybe I didn't get that right. Maybe I didn't understand that right. Maybe, you know, all because we want to do something different. So it's possible for us to have learned then only part of it. Because we start getting and understanding God's will, and we cut it off. Nope, 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 no, 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 no. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Even though God's will is complete for us, it's there. Pick up your Bible and read it. You see, when God sets out His guidance, He intends for us to know, and He intends for us to follow His revelatory will. Revelatory will. We're going to look again and see what that means. He doesn't hide His will from us. God's not some crude curmudgeon up there in heaven kind of just taunting us with stuff. Well, I'll give them a little bit here, and I'll give them a little bit there, and then I'll just see how they, you know, they flounder around a little bit, and He doesn't get any jollies out of watching that. He doesn't try to confuse us. He doesn't tease us. He presents it complete, and He presents it clear to us in our lives. In talking about knowing His will, there will be some terms that we need to understand in this venture as we go through it. At times, these terms can be used interchangeably. These terms are simply guidance, revelation, and revelatory will, the revelatory will of God. These are terms that we need to understand. Guidance, revelation, the revelatory will of God. These terms speak in different ways and perspectives, really of the same thing. Just different ways to do it, different ways to say it. Okay, the only word that may give us a problem is the word will. Because if you stop and be honest with yourself, we all kind of have a little bit of a rebellious nature. We got that from Adam and Eve. It's called the sin nature. And we all want to do our own thing. And we all want to make sure we can do it our way, how we want, when we want, unless we get into trouble. And then we say, okay, God, where are you? And God is saying, I've been waiting here all this time for you to listen to what I've got to say from my word to you so that you do things the way you should. So to help us and our understanding of the will of God, it helps us to qualify what we're saying by using the term revelatory will of God. Why is that? Because the word will is used in the Bible in two senses. The word will is used in two senses. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Sometimes when we see the word will in the Bible, it means that which God from all eternity has decreed to happen. His perfect will. He's decreed it to happen. We would call this his decreative will. That would be the fancy theological name for it. His decreative will. That's what he decrees and will happen. There's another use of the term will, and it's used to mean what God requires of us, what God requires of mankind. That's the kind of will that we need to see too as well. This is called the directive will, God's directive will, how he directs us with his will. And when we talk about knowing God and knowing God's will, it is this directive will that we call his revelatory will. So you can call it directive will, revelatory will. They mean the same thing. Whatever is easiest to say, because some of them are tongue twisters. So his directive will, he directs us through his word to his will. So whether you call it as revelatory or directive will means the same thing. Whatever God requires, whatever God wants, whatever he desires for us, however he directs, in whatever ways he guides, he infallibly tells us to do these things, to think and to say those things. He tells us what our character should be like. He tells us what our life should be like. He tells us how we should act, how we should respond, how we should do those things that we are supposed to do in life. Now, you were born what's called a free will. You can choose to disobey or you can choose to obey. And there's no door number three. There's no other option. You either obey his will or you disobey his will. So this is where we need to keep straight the difference between his decreative will and his directive will. We need to understand the difference there. Remember, his directive will, unlike his decreative will, is not something that will surely happen. His decreative will, it's going to happen because that's his will and that's the way it is. And it doesn't matter whether you accept it or not or what you do, his will be done. And it was his will that Christ would come, would offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin. That was his will. That happened. It didn't depend on whether we want it. What happens as a result of it depends on our choice. Will I accept it or will I reject it? But he did what he was going to do by his decreative will. When God decrees his will, it will happen. Man can't get in the way. Man can't stop it. Man can't do anything. God's time clock is ticking. His will is going to be complete. He's going to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, because he's the one who puts people in charge. He's the one that takes people out of charge. You look through the history of scriptures, you go through. He'll put a leader in, he'll take a leader out. He'll put this person here, he'll take that person out. That's his decreative will. And so when he decrees it, it's going to happen. In our lives, he uses the directive will, which we may misunderstand at times, not because he's in error, but because we are. We can choose to disobey it and not follow it. And so it's that directive will that comes where we get what we should be doing, how we should be living, and what we should do. Now, an example of this would be Adam and Eve. Start with what the culprits that caused all the trouble. Adam and Eve in the garden. God's directive will for them was not to eat from the tree that he made off limits. They had this fantastic garden. We can't even imagine what was in that garden to enjoy and to have and to use and to eat and to do. And so what do? They hang around that very thing they're not supposed to be around. If they wouldn't have hung around that and they'd have been doing what they should have been doing, they probably wouldn't have had that temptation. The enemy didn't lead them to that. They were there. Why would you be there? Well, look at your own life. When there's a lot of times there's things we know we shouldn't do. A lot of things we know, places we shouldn't go, because God's word tells us. But what do? We kind of want to hang around the peripheral of that. Just kind of look over the fence and see. What did Paul tell Timothy? He says, run as fast as you can from youthful lusts. Run from those things that want to trap you when you're young. When you're young and growing, you get away from those as quickly as you can. Adam and Eve shouldn't have been hanging around that tree in the first place. So God's directive will was, do not eat it. Stay away from it. They were given clear, inerrant guidance in that matter. Adam and Eve, knowing God's will in this, what did they do? They disobeyed, and they did their own thing anyways. We look at them, we shake our heads. Well, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, really? You so sure about that? How many times do we read about Israel? How could they do that? And we look at our lives. We look at our country. How are we doing it? We haven't learned a thing, just like they didn't. And so this teaches us that even though God may guide us, we have options. Only one is right. The other ones are wrong. Paul shows us that God desires us to seek and follow his will for our lives. That's what God wants. God doesn't make his will so hard that we have to struggle and we have to strain our way through life to find it. He wants us to know it. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Right there, he's given us a lot of directives of his will. This is what he wants. He wants us to know him. He wants us to have spiritual wisdom. He wants us to have spiritual understanding. You don't have to pray in the morning and say, Lord, is it your will that I have spiritual understanding? What a waste of time. You know that he wants you to have it. He says it right here, to have spiritual understanding. Paul says, you don't have to pray, Lord, should I walk in your ways today? What's your will on that? I'll have to throw out a fleece and see if it's wet or dry. No, we don't have to do that, because he says very clearly, you're to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing. And then he tells us in many places how to do that. So Paul wouldn't pray something that was impossible for us, would he? He wouldn't be praying that for the people he ministered to if it wasn't possible. So it's possible for us to know more and more of his will, God's will, and to produce fruit in our lives. That's the goal. He wants us to produce fruit. What's fruit? The results of our lives lived for him. He wants us to produce those things. He wants us to be doing those things that produce that fruit of the Spirit. He wants to see that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He wants to see that in our lives. That's his will. We don't have to ask about that. We know. We know from last week looking at the scripture that it's his will that we in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we need it. We see those things. So when we see that, it helps us to live consistent in doing this. God leads us into paths of righteousness. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and then verse 18. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit. That's a clear command. That's God's will. Walk by the Spirit. Why? and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Your desires of the flesh that crop up aren't sin until you act on them. When you act on them, they become sin. Those desires are there because of the sin nature. The spiritual nature needs to become so strong in us that it overrides that, and we obey God and follow His ways and follow His will. And there's another passage that we like to quote very often, and it's found in Psalm 23 when it talks about this. In Psalm 23 in verse 3, where David writes, he says, "He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake." And that's the reason, His name's sake, not ours, but His name's sake. He leads us that way. So notice, there's no mention in the Bible about leading us in such ways as, okay, God, should I buy a Ford or a Chevy? Well, that's a gimme, okay? No, just kidding, because I would tell you to get a Chevy. And Randy Hugh would say, no, you get a Ford. But so you're not going to find in the Bible, well, should I buy a red one or should I buy a white one? You're not going to find that. But what you will find is if you're looking for a vehicle or if you're looking for something, there are scriptural principles to guide us in that. You look at those things, the principles of finance, the principles of other things that we need to look at when we're looking to make our choice so that we get the right guidance. And so some people will say, well, see, you can't know God's will because I wanted to know, you know, exactly boom, boom, boom. Well, there's principles that guide us when there's no this or that. Because there's a lot of things in life that, as we've said before, the Bible doesn't address directly because we'd have volumes so big we couldn't read them or use them. And so even in the digital age, it would probably max out your data because there'd be so much. So there's principles that's there to lead us. So the guidance and the leading that we have seen so far in these two messages is dealing with areas of ministry on the one hand, but on the other hand, righteous living. We are to live righteous living. Now, you may not be in full-time ministry, but everybody can have a ministry. Everybody can and should have a ministry to use their spiritual gift in. And that requires righteous living. And God tells us how to do that. So how does this guidance take place in our lives? How does it take place? Well, to find that out, we first want to look at ways that Christians, and listen closely. You have to find out ways that Christians have sought and claimed to get guidance because we need to see that they're correct. Just because they claim it doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's correct. Doesn't mean it's the way we should go. What we're going to discover may surprise you, maybe not. It may bug you, maybe not. It may upset you, maybe not. I don't know. But the reason for reactions is that we may have preconceived notions about how to seek God's will. And that's where we get into trouble. Sometimes our preconceived notions, we never check to see if they were right. Well, you know, somebody told me about that. Does that make it right? Not necessarily. It's when we have those preconceived notions, when we hear some truth that comes from God's word, we say, well, you know, I don't like that because so-and-so told me. Well, I don't necessarily want so-and-so telling me. I want God's word telling me. I want what He says in His word to tell me. Some of what I say may hit on those things that we've talked about, but listen to everything before you draw conclusions. An example of this comes from a person who was teaching out of Joshua 9. They had all the historical facts right. They had all the data right. They drew good conclusions from the text. And they asked the question, how can a Christian know he is making a decision in according with God's will? And that's an excellent question. It's a question we should be asking. It is the one that we're wrestling with here. How to know? His answer came back when he was asked that. His answer was suspect. Because he answered this way. To get the answer, he said, well, I asked some Christians, and then I looked in some Christian books. You want to base God's will on asking some Christians? and looking at some Christian books. Then he decided to come up with some guidelines. Some of the guidelines he came up with, pretty good. Number one was scripture, prayer, advice of others, circumstances, reason, and peace. Think about those. How many times have you used them? Is this a correct list? If you were to ask most Christians about this, they'd probably all agree. But what do you think? What do you think of that? Some of these ways sound good. We may have even used some of them in the past, but should we? Let's look at these. And we won't get done with that list this morning, so don't worry. You know, your lunch won't get too cold. But the first one is scripture. That one we're going to discuss later. Okay, we'll discuss that one later. So let's jump to number two. Second thing he says is prayer. This is a touchy area to discuss. But we want to seek out the truth so we know what we should do in our lives. There is a place for prayer in discerning God's will. But it is never the final authority on it. Always remember that. It's not the final authority on it. Some would tell us that we pray and then we listen to God for some sort of answer. Sounds spiritual enough. What we should do is to pray and ask God for discernment in understanding our situation and then understanding His Word in relationship to that situation. What does your Word say? Are there examples of this in Scripture? Are there things that I need to find? But you see, today in our society, we don't seem to spend that kind of time in His Word like we should. And then we wonder why we're confused. And so we try to look to other resources to try and give us what we should be seeking out ourselves, doing it the way God wants us to and searching Him out through His Word. The New Testament examples of guidance don't give us any indication that God is going to verbally talk back to you in prayer. You can't find it. God did communicate in different ways in the Old Testament, and as we said last week, in the New Testament, until the revelation was complete. Now He speaks to us how? Through His Word. And as I've said before, if you could have lunch with Jesus or God, you could have coffee with Him, and you would ask Him questions, you know what He would tell you? You say, look at such and such a book, such and such a chapter, such and such a verse. That's what I would tell you. That's what He would say to us. That's what I tell you. He's not going to give you anything other than what's in His Word. His revelation is complete. Now He gives us new understanding. He gives us new insights. He gives us a new wow experiences from time to time. Like, I've read this thing so many times and I never saw that. And all of a sudden, I see it more clearly. What you're saying here in this text. And so prayer in Scripture is always represented as man addressing God. I really don't know one place where we're told to listen for an answer. I can't find a chapter or a verse where it says, go sit and listen for an answer to come. God speaks in the Bible in answer to our prayers. Again, in the Old Testament it was different because the revelation wasn't complete. Even in part of the New Testament, it wasn't complete yet. And so He had to work in different ways. If God whispers answers in stillness, why bother with the other resources that supposedly help us to understand His Word? Why go through any of those others if He's going to do that? If He did this, it would be even better. And sometimes we wish He would. But it would be better than the Bible because it would be in English and we wouldn't have to translate the Hebrew into Greek. And so He would talk to us in our language. Sometimes we wish that He would do that. But He wants us to grow and He wants us to stretch. And so even though His will is complete, even though His will be obvious to us, there's still sometimes the steps that we need to take to go through it so that we understand. Really, any ideas of this as a way to find God's will is going to lead us into problems if we look for any other resources. We aren't told to watch for some deep impression. We're not told to go by our feelings while we pray. As you know, that's way too iffy because your feelings come and your feelings go and your feelings are deceiving. We're told to trust in God's word. Nothing else is really worth believing. I didn't make that poem up. Somebody else did. But that's the truth. God's word is where the truth is. To discover the Lord's will, you should pray for help to understand and use the Bible in a proper way. Pray for wisdom. Pray for ability and strength to do whatever you discover God wants you to do as you study the Scriptures. I heard somebody say that when you pray for wisdom, you're already saying, with the wisdom that I get from you and from your word, I am committing myself to do it. I'm going to obey it. You see, all that is necessary for us to love God, to love our neighbor, and to do what he requires of us is found in the Scriptures. It's found in the Bible. Today, when we consult God, we go to him in prayer and we consult him in his word. What did he say? What do you got for me? And so, what about the next two items? Advice from others, looking at our circumstances. That individual added those to the list. Well, what happened to Joshua? If you remember the situation, if you go back to Joshua chapter 9, we don't have time to set the whole stage of the context here, but we kind of get the idea of what happened if you look at chapter 9 and verse 14. Joshua got duped, okay? He got duped in a big way. So did the people with him. They got duped in a big way. And verse 14 says this, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's counsel. They trusted in their own wisdom. We got this one. You remember what happened to Ai? I mean, they defeated Jericho, this great, big, huge, walled city. They consulted God. God told them what to do, how to do it. Jericho's walls fell. Then they come to the next town, which was what? Ai. And it wasn't artificial intelligence. It was just AI. And so they thought, this town's a piece of cake. It's like coming to North Branch. You know, we don't need to talk to God about that. What did AI do? AI sent them running. Defeated them. Why? Because they didn't consult God. They didn't seek him out. So looking at advice and circumstances here, back in Joshua's day, these Gibeonites, they knew how to play the role. Man, they came with old wineskins. They came with old, dried out, crumbly bread. They made it look just like they said and lied and deceived Joshua. And they weren't prepared to understand that because they didn't seek the Lord. It was the circumstance that deceived them. And today, it's circumstances that'll deceive you. You're not careful. Circumstances can deceive us. Circumstances can lead us in the wrong direction. What happened was their reasoning failed them. They thought they had it. They thought they could handle this one. Their peace. Many times, and we'll look at that one later, well, I have a peace about this. Your peace can be a real peace or it can be a false peace. It's not something you want to stake making a choice or a decision on in your life just because you may have peace. Sometimes we want something so bad that no matter what even if God were to blatantly say, no, I have peace, well, I'm going to go by my peace because I have peace about this. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not like the world gives. I give you my peace. That's a different kind of peace. And so they had false reasonings that failed them. Their peace failed them. And they were doing the right, they didn't do the right thing, and they were totally false because of what had happened. What role should the advice of others play in making decisions and seeking God's will? God gives us brothers and sisters in the Lord. He gives us other Christians, and they do play a role. Remember, God makes no promise to reveal his will through others. He makes the promise to reveal himself in his word. Now, it may be very wise to consult others in order to better analyze your situation. Get some people from an outside perspective, godly people, spirit-filled people, walking in the spirit, looking at that situation from the outside, because they have a different perspective in what that you're in order to get their advice about what the Scriptures say you should do about it. If they say to you, well, let me see, I think you should do this. That should be a second. Wait a minute, you think I should do this. But what do you think I should do this based on God's word? That's what I want to hear. If they come to you and saying, you know, God said this and he gave us this principle in scripture, why don't you look at that? And you say, okay, because they may have seen something you missed. God, not others, needs to lead us into the path of righteousness. They can help us if they give us godly advice. When others speak from the Bible, we should give them serious attention because they may have a better understanding of Scripture than you do. They may have been a Christian longer than you. Now, the length of being a Christian isn't magic, okay? Doesn't mean you're going to be a spiritual giant. But anybody that has an understanding of Scripture that's been growing may give you and be able to point certain things out to you from God's Word that'll help you in this. But the final analysis is this. You search the Scriptures like the Bereans did. They were commended for that. You search the Scriptures to see even if those you sought counsel from have said truth about God's Word. If they are demonstrating God's Word and sharing that, be sure that whatever they advise you is truly what God teaches in His Word. And that's where we, again, it confirms God's Word. In the mouths of two or three witnesses, God says this, I see this in Scripture, I see this principle, have you considered this? No, I haven't. And then you begin to study the Scripture, oh yeah, I see that principle now. And it helps you make your choice and your decision. And somebody might say, well, what about an open or closed door? What do you do with that? Guess what? Come back next week and we'll look at that. And we'll see what God says or doesn't say about open and closed doors or open and closed windows or whatever. But we need to understand, we need to be students of Him. We need to be students of His Word. And does it take work? Yes, it does. But it's worth it. It's worth our time. It's worth our energy to do that. Let's stand together as we sing in closing.